Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Victory Monday.
Victory!
Randy, everybody won. Everybody won this weekend. And it was just a really, really enjoyable, entertaining football weekend. Saturday, all day long. Yesterday, obviously, had to wait all day for the Falcons to play, but they did on Sunday Night Football, and they did a lot of things that we'd been hoping that they would for years. That was the cure, Andy. The cure to the sack envy. Six of them. And it was all the new guys.
Yeah, man.
It was all the new guys, all the young guys, second-year players, all that. Just a really nice performance from the Falcons' defensive line yesterday. Good morning to you. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend here in the state of Georgia as all the universities won, all the sports teams won. Yeah, they all won. Yep. I think that the biggest
the Braves won.
Yeah, I think the Braves won too. But no,
it was just one.
Yeah, but just the like I said, great weekend, beautiful weather, and everything like that, man. But yeah, watching last night's game, watching the Falcons play football last night defensively, it was a lot of fun to watch. It really was, because you got to see everybody get involved. I saw Rex Ryan said something this morning. He said that the Falcons had 11 guys that had at least 5 rushes. That's depth. That's keeping guys fresh, and you saw it, but just the aggressiveness that they all played with. It's a big deal, and I don't know what his status is, but A.J. Locke is going to be a while.
Yeah.
Locke's going to be a while. And so for them to continue to play hard and just frustrate the young quarterback up there, J.J. McCarthy, he got away a couple times, but for the most part, except for the big play going into halftime, they pretty much did a pretty good job of frustrating him. Boy, they might want to call down here. They might want to call down here. Yeah. I'm sure he hasn't sold his house up there.
He looks,
yeah. They might want to call down here, because he just it's 2 weeks in a row.
He looks awfully young.
We talked last week about that, but anyways, this is about the Falcons. Yeah. I thought that, you know, some of the keys that we talked about on Friday, and I think my second or third one was the offensive line got to get their lick back. Mm-hmm. It wasn't perfect, but they got their lick back, because the way they were running the football, and if it was a national televised game, and if that's the first time people got to watch how special a runner Bijan Robinson is, the dude is just special, man. I mean, that last run he had, you know, on third down where he shook like 14 folks and then
just to get seven yards.
Yeah. I mean, just watching him was special. And then Tyler Algiers coming in there. But I thought, you know, overall the beginning part of the game for the offense was so sloppy.
Yeah.
That first drive, Andy, you should be ashamed of your damn self. You call a timeout, and then you come out of the timeout and get a damn delay game. That's just awful.
What? So
awful.
Obviously, the noise was a part of it.
Yes.
Like, they couldn't get the play into Penix. He couldn't hear it.
There right.
Didn't seem to be any urgency whatsoever. Like, they're coming out of the huddle with 11 seconds left on the play clock every single time, getting up to the line. It's like 2 seconds left, and you're trying to send a guy in motion.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this isn't going to work.
Line up and go.
You got to line up and go.
Yes.
And also, I don't know, get the play in a little sooner, or maybe there's another way to get it in besides having to tell it to him in his headset. Like, something. You got to come. And they did. As the game went on, obviously, it got better in that operation. But that first drive was like, especially because the first drive, the beginning of it, was great.
Yeah.
They handed it to Bijan a couple times, and they were downhill, and they were in the red zone immediately.
Yep.
And then as soon as they got down there and tried to huddle up, it was just really, it was really tough.
Yeah.
So that to me is the great part about what happened last night. Conversely to what happened week one, where there was a lot of good, and you can definitely talk about it. There's plenty to clean up, but it's a lot more fun to talk about what needs to get cleaned up in a win.
You're damn right.
22-6, and could have, I mean, very easily could have been
much worse. Yes,
than that.
Yes.
Much, but, to 1-for-5 in the red zone probably is the number one thing that you focus in on and want to get better at, because as soon as they got down there, they stalled out every single time. The one touchdown they scored, Minnesota let them.
I don't care.
Well, whatever. Whatever. But it is what it is. But it is. Yeah. That's right. You saw it.
Yeah,
you saw it. If we're going to clean something up, that's what we're cleaning up.
That out. Oh, yeah, I don't care. That's, you know what Tyler just did? That going towards that incentive. I need four more.
Sure.
Four more.
But to the point of red zone inefficiency. Why didn't those guys back off? It was a couple times.
I was like, Michael, just hold it one more second. One time, I think Kyle was coming open on the corner. I just hold it just one more second. Let it develop. I know he did a really good job last night to getting the ball out of his hands, especially those, you know, check downs and things like that. But I was like, just one more. Just give it. Just hold it. Pick longer and wait for that to develop a little bit more. And I saw that a couple times last night. But I think, you know, the inefficiency in both games of the red zone is something that's going to get you beat. And it got him beat last time. It is going to get you beat. You know, luckily you played against a team, I mean, the quarterback. And it was so crazy because you kept watching J.J. McCarthy. Like, eventually, you stop coming to me as a teammate. Tomorrow's like, okay, my bad, guys. We'll get it next time. My bad, guys. We'll get it. Man, that's on me. Okay, dog, we know this.
We know.
Stop doing it.
Yeah, stop.
You know what I mean?
Stop missing throws.
Stop doing it.
Stop hanging on to the ball too long.
Yeah, but in all fairness, the Falcons defense, I mean, they were coming after him, man. They were bringing it. And like you said, everybody got in on the action. This rookie class, we know why these two young men are starting in the secondary. They were both outstanding. You know, I thought that Bowman, he got, you know, a better throw. He gives up a touchdown, but still, that's a them problem.
He's going to get his hands on a lot of passes.
He is a ball hawk. Yeah, he is very the biggest thing with him, he's very instinctive. He just has a knack in being in the right place. Obviously, young Romo comes in, five field goals. Can't explain the first one, but they called it good, so it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
But other than that, I thought their damn coverage teams were freaking phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You can tell that there was an emphasis in that Monday meeting at the special teams coach went in like huge, you know what?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of improvement from week one to week two, like almost all of the things outside of red zone efficiency that we spent time last week talking about wanting to see improve.
Yep.
The offensive line was significantly better, which meant the run game was significantly better. Yes. They ran for 218 yards.
Got your lick back.
5.5 yards a carry. Yes. And Bijan looked like, you know, exactly what everybody expects him to be with the ball in his hands. You affected the quarterback beyond just pressures. You got him on the ground. Yes. You strip sacked him one time. Man. So you caused a fumble and a turnover that way. Obviously, the pressure led to him making some errant throws and got a couple turnovers that way. You won the turnover battle 4-1, which is a beautiful thing to see.
And your quarterback still hasn't turned the ball over.
And Michael Penix still hasn't thrown an interception, which is great to see. And then the last thing that I'll mention that you just brought up is beyond the kicking game. And obviously that was better. 5 for 5. Awesome. Great. Don't even have to talk about it. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Beautiful. You have your new kicker. But all of the rest of the special teams looked really good too.
Yes.
And in the first week, it was real sloppy. Yes. So good to see them clean that up.
Yeah, I think because such it was such a telling thing because of the position, the field position that you gave the Buccaneers because of your bad coverage. You know, and so this time you were able to hone it down. And I mean, everybody was in the right lanes. Everybody was running to the football and just didn't allow the Minnesota's returners to ever get out. But I just thought, you know, just the Falcons, just in general, they were tough. They were tough up front. That defensive line, I mean, you got Harrison, Dorless, who we both love.
He played awesome.
I mean, he was freaking outstanding,
dog. He was
dog.
Really good.
He was outstanding in this football game, man. And then you saw the old man, David Aliamata, get in on it. Yeah. I mean, just the way they controlled it, the physicality in the downhill of the linebackers. All right, we talked about Diablo. Hey, man.
He's a player, man.
Yeah, man.
Devon Diablo is a player.
Yeah, he is a player. And then Caden Ellis, they're using him in an attacking style, you know. And I thought that just the physicality that your two linebackers played with to match those guys up front was second to none.
Yeah, when it started early, when they go for it on fourth down, and I know they botched the snap, but that happens when you're trying to get those little short yardage, especially with a young quarterback. And Caden Ellis penetrated through and held him up, and they held him and got the ball back. And again,
score touchdown.
I know. That's the crazy thing. It should have been 17-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah, man.
And then Drake London gets that ball punched out, and they turn it right back to him, and it's 6-0. And they have the ball, and it's like, man, it really felt like, and I saw this everywhere on Twitter, understandably, Falcons fans have seen that story before.
Yeah.
I'm sure those two field goals and turnover aren't going to bite us in the ass. Now, luckily, they did not. They did not end up doing that. But that game was a lot closer, a lot longer than it needed to be based on the way things were going, the way the Falcons were dominating the line of scrimmage and the way they were running the football until they got to the red zone and all of that. Nice that they were able to make all of their field goals and extend that lead slowly and then get that touchdown at the end. But yeah, no, that, you know, if you didn't know the score and you just saw like play for play the way that that game went, especially the way that the Falcons ran the football,
39 and got after, carries, Andy,
and got after McCarthy. Yeah. 22-6 doesn't tell the story.
Yeah, 39 carries. I mean, that was the one right there that you look at. But I mean, going back, you know, just all the psychs that you had, the TFLs. I mean, they were in the Minnesota backfield all game. And James Pierce had a couple scheme sacks. Jack Harrison got let go. And
but watching, he didn't even touch him.
Yeah, watching Jalen Walker just beat the hell out of the left tackle.
That was such.
He just beat the hell out of him.
Yeah. Pierce had a couple really strong rushes. They connected on one like 20-plus yard throw. And Pierce almost got the ball out of his
hand. He almost had him a couple times. And that's one of the things where you saw like the biggest thing is like, what's the word we use? Always stay at the same level as a quarterback. He got a little high above, and so they were able to push him by, and JJ was able to sneak out. But I mean, just the overall just pressure that JJ was under from this defensive line. It was one of the best defensive performances I've seen from this team since we've been doing this.
Years.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, man. I mean,
I can't remember the last time that the Falcons defensive line did that in a game.
It just swarms. These guys, I mean, we know about Claiborne 6 sacks against Dallas.
Yeah.
But other than that.
I was actually talking to somebody about that this morning. They're like, when's the last time the Falcons had a performance like this? I was like, well, Adrian Claiborne had 6 in a game, but that was kind of like one guy that they were targeting.
Yeah.
And I was like, how many did he finish that year with?
9.
9.5.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like, somehow didn't get double digit sacks.
Had a 6 in one damn game.
In a year.
Early in the season, too.
Yeah, it was like October.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter. It was also like all the different sort of things that you wanted to see defensively popped up in that game. Like you said, Onyemata was really stout in the middle. Zach Harrison was able to get in the backfield a couple times and cause that strip sack. Man, he folded McCarthy up, too. Like, that looked like it hurt.
Yes.
Luckily, he's young. Because, like, that was crazy. It's like, oh, his leg's probably not supposed to bend like that.
Yeah.
But then for Billy Bowman and Watts to get turnovers for both of the
– I thought he had two of them.
Well, yeah, I know.
I thought he had two.
I have a feeling that's why I said he's going to get his hands on a lot of passes.
Yeah.
I got a feeling there's a reason Billy Bowman plays defense.
Yes.
Because that dude is – he is smart.
Dude.
He is right there.
He is – and I'm talking about the interception, how he just, like –
he ran the route.
He ran the route for the guy.
He ran the route for
the guy. And caught the ball for the guy. Then the second one that he dropped, obviously hit the ground. But just where he was at, and then Xavier Watts, his range to get over there of an overthrown ball.
That was a great catch.
It was a great catch by him, man. And so we mentioned this earlier. You see why, you know, obviously why they were drafted, but yet you see why they have confidence to put him in the secondary. Now, not having AJ, and again, nothing has come out about it. I'm just going by what I saw and how he grabbed that hammy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a multiple week injury.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's unfortunate. So hopefully, you know, it doesn't take away the aggressiveness, because with AJ, you can play him man to man and do stuff everywhere else, because he's going to cover that guy or whoever the guy is pretty much the whole game. But yeah, that was a big one. That's the only negative outside of not being able to produce in the red zone. Mm-hmm. You got to score touchdowns. You got to score touchdowns in this league, especially when you play against better teams.
Yeah, because that's the thing, is you're able to get away with it against Minnesota last night because of what you were doing to their offense.
Yes.
And the fact that they just have I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes throughout the year, but he's now played 7 of 8 quarters of disastrous football.
Andy, he's going to be a problem for him until he can get – I mean, you got to play to learn. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that is the truth. And you picked him that high, and I'm not saying they want to give up on him or anything like that, but he don't look like he's ready to play.
No, he doesn't.
He does not look like he's ready to play. But I'll give more credit to the Falcons than, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because a veteran quarterback would have been under duress as much pressure as they put on him.
That's the thing, is it's easy to look like you're not ready to play when you're under pressure like that over and over again. And again, this is not in any way me taking anything away from anything the Falcons did. They'll probably be better protecting him as the season goes. Their left tackle will be back eventually. Mm-hmm. Their center got a concussion in the first half, so he had to come out of the game.
They had all
so
kind of injuries.
They were dealing with all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's a them problem.
Yeah, so, dude, in a city where we've dealt with injury after injury after injury to this and every other team, we're not making that as an excuse or even a reason. But just in terms of, like, I don't know, where they're at with their guy, maybe it'll get a little bit better. It'll get better as the season goes, because he'll just have more, at least the experience will be there for him. And who knows? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time a quarterback got drafted in the first round and just wasn't very good.
Damn sure ain't.
Happens sometimes.
It happens there before.
Happened there before. It has. So, I don't know. That's for them to figure out. What we know is the Falcons are 1-1.
Victory!
Excellent defensive performance yesterday. Awesome run game. And those are the ingredients. If the run game looks anything like that, and the pass rush looks anything like that, Falcons are going to win quite a few
games.
They're
going to be a problem, man.
Pretty good game on Saturday. Couple pretty good games on Saturday, too. I think we ought to talk about those games. And here's some highlights from those local college football teams that both won by three in very stressful fashion, like we predicted. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Falcons have rushed four each of the last couple snaps. Here comes a four-man pressure again. McCarthy going to sail this to the end zone. It's intercepted. Xavier Watts.
The two rookies.
Yep.
The Bull Hawks.
And at the three-yard line, Watts comes up with the interception, and he waves goodbye to those that have not already left U.S. Bank Stadium. Vittoriano in motion. We're going to hand it to Algier, and Tyler Algier scores standing. Minnesota might have let him score.
I think they did.
But Tyler Algier goes in with his first score of the year and his 11th career rushing touchdown.
Don't say that on the stat sheet right where I'm looking at. It says Tyler Algier is one touchdown.
That's right.
Not because they let him.
No,
look at this right here. 22 carries for Bijan.
Uh-huh.
16 for Tyler Algier.
Yeah.
When you got that kind of production, when you got those kind of attempts between your two runners, that means your O-line doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, even though it's been two games, you have not heard, or first key from the first week, Elijah, you have not really heard of him
outside
as a
of the false starts in the fourth quarter week one.
But I'm talking about his blocking.
For blocking, yeah.
That was a crap-ass call they called last night when they called holding on him because the guy jumped offside.
He
didn't hold him anyway.
Right.
You know, so that was a bunch of crap right there. But I thought, they got their lick back. Talking about the offensive line now. Bergeron still having trouble in protection. They're going to run ET and TE stunts all day at his ass until he gets his face and his hands out of there. Never mind, whatever. He's still a fun player to watch. But, yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row. He's gotten beat with the same damn stunt twice.
Mm.
You know, and then you get your quarterback hit both times.
Yeah, there was a couple last night where, Penix – you're not going to get sacked three times in a game very often because he gets the ball out
when
he sees the pressure.
Right.
When the pressure's on you like that, there's nothing you can do.
Yes.
There was a couple times last night where it was just like, just glad he didn't fumble with how quick the pass rush got on him.
Yeah. Okay. But I think, the one thing about him was that he was taking what the defense gave him. I think they had more opportunities. But like you said, the pressure was there. And when he did have a clean pocket, he really didn't miss a lot of throws yesterday. I thought that, I was curious because I'm sitting there like, where the hell is Drake London? Where the hell is Drake London? Are they going to get him involved? Nice play. Obviously fumbles the ball after the ball poked out, but then he had a nice run.
That was a pretty cool throw.
On second and 21, he catches a little slant.
Right.
And then just takes it and gets the first down. Great play. It's good to see Moody. Still looks like he's a little rusty and everything. But I thought another guy who I'm just telling you right now was proud to be a damn Bulldog because Charlie Warner – was working his ass off last night. I mean, just being at fullback, setting the edge. I thought that he played really, really hard, really, really well last night for them as that second tight end. But I think it's all going to come down to they got to score touchdowns, Bunk.
Yep.
They got to score. You got to get at least 3 out of 5. You know what I mean? But you're not mad at young Romo. Maybe that was, that is what he needed.
Maybe that's what he needed.
Maybe it is. Because I know the 50-yard or whatever it was, he was calm as hell.
Yeah.
And it hit right down the middle. Yeah. He was talking trash for what went in.
There was plenty of room to spare.
Yeah.
Good to see. That's one of the things we wanted to make sure to not have to talk about today, and we don't. He was 5 for 5. Great.
Yeah.
Good. That's your job.
That's your damn job. Kick the ball.
The only time you talk about it is when they don't. So that was good. And that's probably all they needed, I would assume.
Yeah.
Because Youngway was still on the roster, but just in case, maybe.
Yeah,
that's probably something you do this week.
They left his ass at home.
He Well, I mean,
yeah, they didn't even. He's still on the active roster,
right?
They didn't even take him with him. No, you can't come.
That's an extra. You know, that's an in-flight meal.
We need Romo needs your seat on the plane.
Yeah,
like they didn't even bring them. They didn't even take him, Bunk.
Not very many teams take two place kickers.
No, they don't. But they didn't even bring him. This your man's. This your man's right here.
Was, man.
Yeah, they left his ass right
was,
there.
Was, not is.
Left his ass right there.
Past tense.
Yeah, man. But no, great job by him. It is great until it's not. We understand that. The life of a damn kicker.
Oh, it's a week-by-week proposition.
It's a week-by-week proposition, baby. And you understand
and
that.
And this week was good.
Yeah, man. And now, you know, you got the feel-goods.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. When you get the feel-goods, it's
plus, there's a lot that goes into it, obviously. But going into that building.
That's a tough place to play.
Were fired up.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Allen up there. He got inducted. I love the riding of the motorcycle onto the field and everything, like the old Viking guy. Did he die?
Vikings don't die, Randy. They go to Valhalla.
I think that overall, just everything, you couldn't ask for a better defensive scheme. I'm glad I saw Ra in the locker room, gave Brick the game ball. I mean, he was sending guys from everywhere, but a lot of times guys just winning their one-on-one matchups.
Yep. Let's hear Raheem after the game talking about the pass rush.
No, it's just a lot of pressure from Mr. Blank to get after the passer, and those guys really respond when he comes down. Those guys really respond when we bring those guys in. No, all joking aside, those guys in to do that. And I don't know if it's contagious, but it's fun, and those guys like to do it. We talked about having to stop the run early. Those guys really went out, buckled down on the run, forced these guys to be one-dimensional. They was able to get after them.
Yeah, no, all that. All that is true, and that's something that got Minnesota going in the end of week one against Chicago was running the football. You had Jordan Mason 9 carries for 30 yards, yep. Aaron Jones 5 carries for 23 yards. Like, they did a really nice job containing that run game, and that's what everyone is going to try to do against Minnesota. You're going to try to make J.J. McCarthy throw it.
Yes.
They made him throw it, 2 interceptions and a strip sack. And
he had 3 fumbles.
He did.
He fumbled all 3 times.
They got on two of them,
and again, that's a them problem, but I just think the young man, a veteran like the one they have here on this roster here in Atlanta, will be perfect for him. But that ain't going to happen. I doubt that happens. But I think that, you know, when you look, I mean, you didn't have your best offensive performance, especially in the red zone, but yet you still won the game because you were able to be the more physical football team. And Bijan, just the way he runs, and it's just, you know, like, the first guy ain't going to get him.
Yeah.
Like, you're lucky if you get him the first guy.
You're
lucky if you get him.
And it started from the very beginning, too. That was the best part. 2 carries, and they were 60 yards down the field. It was all right. Well, that's more yards than they had all last week. Gosh. So that was good to see. And then they just kept rolling with it. We'll get back into some different Falcons ins and outs in about half an hour in an NFL No Huddle. Obviously, get you caught up on everything else that happened yesterday in the National Football League as well. Some pretty big-time injuries to pretty big-time players around the league. And we're not going to have enough time to do these 2 games justice here. So we'll spend the next segment really digging into some college football from Saturday. But we got to get the highlights into what's trending. Let's start with Georgia in Knoxville.
McCray driving, reaching for the end zone. Spotted short, 3rd down coming up.
If he's short, he's about on the 6-inch line.
Need. After further review, it is a touchdown.
Yeah.
Game is over.
Time over.
And the Dogs do it again. Prolonging volunteer misery in this head-to-head. What a battle. 41-38 in overtime.
What a damn game. What a game. What resilience by them damn Dogs, man. You're down 21-7 in that place, and their offense was cooking our ass.
They were cooking.
Cooking our ass like it was stir fry. I mean, they would get looking like a stir fry, because that's what they were doing. But I think, you know, just the resilience of this team, we don't have a quarterback problem no more.
No quarterback problem.
Yeah.
If there even was one.
If there even was one.
There's no
and
problem.
And there was that process of, yes, they were holding stuff back with Mixie even more damn mad. You know, but, you know, just the plays that he was able to make. I thought, you know, and we talked about this, you got to figure out a way to get stops against this offense. Because if they get rolling like Joey and them got rolling, they're going to get you.
Yeah,
they're going to get you, man. And it was I'm going to throw ball. My guy's better than yours.
Brazzle.
And he was better twice.
Throw it up.
Just throw it up there.
God, that guy.
That boy's nice.
He's a good player.
He's nice.
We'll get back into all, because that game deserves a ton of
nice.
Time. Well, let's hear Georgia Tech winning their game as well.
He'll be short of the first down. Driven back. And here comes fire drill. They will line Aiden Burr up to try and win the game. Down to 10 seconds to go. His career-long 51. This from 55. The snap is off. It is on the way. It's got the distance.
Listen to that. Dude. Listen to that.
Unbelievable.
Man, it hadn't sounded like that in there for a while.
Is you listening to, like, we talked all week about Britt Key. His piss was hot. You saw him afterward at the podium, how emotional he was.
Yeah.
That was the biggest win that he's had. And he's had some nice wins, and I know his record against freaking ACC ranked opponents.
7-1 now.
Is unbelievable. But that coach right there, man, I'm just telling you, man, Georgia Tech got him one.
And I know we say this about them. They look like absolutely no fun to play.
No.
They hit on offense and defense.
They smacked the hell out of you.
They hit so hard. Clemson. Oh.
Yeah, man. We'll get into them. Hey, join 99 The Game and Bud Light for a Falcons and Panthers watch party this Sunday, 1 o'clock at Hooligans Tavern in Roswell. Watch Falcons battle the Panthers. Well, hey, get the loot, Abe, for the Falcon and the cheer team. Complete Bud Light football toss and an all-inclusive trip for two to Vegas to compete for Super Bowl tickets, win Falcons tickets, and an autographed football item from the Falcons. That's this Sunday at Hooligans, brought to you by Bud Light. Must be 21 and drink responsibly.
First hour of the show is always brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We will get back and spend a lot more time on those two games and as many of the other big games from Saturday as well. Best Saturday of the year so far. Just unbelievable to finish in college football. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Victory Monday in 20 minutes. We'll get back into what the Falcons did last night on Sunday Night Football, getting their record to 1-1, taking down the Vikings in a pretty hostile environment. Now, it got unhostile as the game went on, but it was loud as hell in there to start. Obviously, that was the same. It was crazy in Knoxville. It was crazy over there at Bobby Dodd. Like, a lot of really fun environments, a lot of fun football games. We'll get to the college football reactions in just a minute. Do want to let you know, first hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. And as we always do on Mondays, we'll get to back-to-back NFL no huddles at noon. So we'll do a little bit more on the Falcons and then get to everything else that happened for the first 45 minutes of the noon hour.
Yeah, just a great all-around weekend. Like you said, the game's over here. First of all, I got to give a shout-out to 12U Parkview. What a freaking game they played. End up winning in overtime. Just a great, great. They got down by two touchdowns.
So everybody
won. They battled back. Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you, when I tell you them young boys, man, they were going to get people. Like that D-line, the D-line with Samson and them on there, with Samson and Kendrick, dude, they were tossing folk. They done knocked kids out there. They brought the cart out for one kid, Andy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, they brought the cart out for one kid, man. They were out there thumping, man. But Grayson, shout out to them. They played a great game. But, yeah, so proud of Coach Rico and the coaches at, two in a row, baby.
That's great.
Two in a row,
That's
man.
Great. So,
two
a winning weekend all the way around. Yeah. Falcons, Georgia Tech. We'll get into all of it. Let's start with what Kirby Smart said about his quarterback after the game. Gunnar Stockton, that is.
I thought he grew up tonight. He grew up a lot. Like, he stood in there, and the fourth down throw he made was really good. And protection was better. I still want him to trust the pocket to stay in there. But, you know, that's who he is. I think we're going to evolve with him where we can scramble and make some really big-time plays. He'll keep his eyes downfield when he scrambles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought, yeah, he grew up, and I think the biggest thing, like that fourth down throw, that it don't get no more big time than that. It's a great catch by Humphreys, too.
What is that route? Like, what is that?
The inside fade route,
because
man.
He's excellent at throwing that pass.
Yeah, inside fade route, man.
He threw four or five of those, and they were on the money.
Yeah, that inside fade route, man, because it's basically, you as an inside receiver, you're getting to a spot. And the quarterback's job to throw you where he did. And, I mean, you can't throw a ball better than that ball he threw to Humphreys.
Yeah, that fourth down throw to Humphreys to get, you know, that ended up tying the game on two. He had one on the first drive that was beautiful. He had one early in the second half that got them into field goal range. Mm-hmm. That they took the lead 30-28. Like, that's a That's a nice, again, that's something we did. We hadn't seen.
Right.
There's like a lot of stuff we hadn't seen from Gunnar Stockton because he just hadn't played very much. And then they completely held back so much stuff in the first two games of the season. Yeah, he's good. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah,
he can do a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they got some fun players. I think Zachariah, well, he showed you again. Just give him the damn ball.
Goodness.
Just give him the damn ball, you know. But, I mean, just to start off, I mean, Georgia played what Georgia does. We're going to play man-to-man bump and run coverage, and we're going to challenge you and dare you to make these throws. And Aguilar, give him credit, man. He was dicing my ass up.
Yeah, he's good, too.
And he was making throws, and that system was working. And then when Georgia was able to start getting stops, then you're like, okay, we can get some stops. Because they can't stop Georgia either. They couldn't stop us either. So you get the stops and everything like that, and you got the right stops. Then, obviously, they come down, get an opportunity to win the game. Kid misses the field goal. Once he missed the field goal, I said, that's a wrap. We got him. Once he missed the field goal, that's a wrap. But the biggest one was a second down stop in overtime for Georgia. I was like, oh. Because I was like, okay, we got him. We got him now. And then obviously they kicked the field goal. First play, what a great play called by Bobo, just running Nate Frazier off left tackle. And then Nate goes again and said,
well, who was the offensive lineman that pulled all the way around to the left side and threw just, I mean,
I was so
that
worried.
Corner had to be so surprised when he was over there.
Because he was like, whoa! And then he knocks him out. Guy? And then obviously Nate does the rest. And then, you know, you get in. I was like, what are y'all reviewing? Mm-hmm. Touchdown. Mm-hmm. That's game time. That's game time, man. And I mean, you're going to tell me that Georgia's going to score 40 points a week? 40 points a game? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's going to be, if they score 40 points a game now, they did get over 41, but not too many offenses are like that.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be, I don't think they're going to be facing that sort of receiving core every single week. That Chris, we talked about Chris Brazel on Friday. He's good.
Yes, he is.
He's like, there was a couple of them that was like, uh-oh. I mean, they had to take the young defensive back out of the game after some of what was done to him in the first quarter. And they tightened up. I mean, I thought Georgia played actually a really nice quarter in the third quarter defensively. Got off the field a bunch of times and were able to take
that damn Raylan. You said it about him. That damn Raylan Wilson.
He's a jerk, man. Dude, he loves to hit people.
He hit damn Aguilar so good. Because I was like, he hit Aguilar so, like, you want to talk hard about exploding through the target?
But just a, like, tackle.
Perfect.
Just a perfect form tackle. It was, and he, I mean, he hit the hell out of it, but just that's what you teach right there.
That is coaching. That is a process. But, yeah, it was so good. It was so great to go up there and get that win in that environment. Like you said, they were down 21-7 and rolling, and that damn crowd was hollering and humming and everything. And for the Kirby, and I know he said in the clip they deserved to win. No, they didn't. They should have won then. All right. No, they deserve winning. Nothing.
Well, you take that up with Kirby.
I will.
That's what Kirby said.
I will. I'll see him in a few weeks.
Yes. Let him know.
Yeah, I'll see him in a few weeks.
He felt a lot entirely like, but a lot like the Alabama game last year where they took a couple haymakers early.
Yes.
Like Tennessee came out and just flat out punched Georgia in the face a bunch of
like
times.
Like just jab.
Over.
Yes.
When it was 21-7. Georgia had to go down the field and score. And they picked up a fourth down on that drive, which was huge. Yes. And then obviously Branch gets that little swing pass and see ya. Like that guy, he's got afterburners that not many have in college football. And we've seen that a couple times from him now. So that's an element to this offense that they haven't had since
Mecole.
Yeah. Also, that's the 2-point. That's the Chiefs play.
Oh, yeah.
That's the Mecole Hardman Chiefs play for two that they ran on him. I was like, oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah.
I've seen that play before.
Yeah, man.
Because he was wide open.
Yes.
But I mean, obviously, situational coaching is always really tough. And, you know, hindsight is 2020. But I know Tennessee botched the end of that game, man. Mm-hmm. Like, they got into position and then they kind of started dealing.
Then the offsides penalty.
Obviously, they false start and they ice their own guy. And it's easy to say now, but I was saying it. We were at a bar in Savannah with a lot of Tennessee fans and a lot of Georgia fans. And it was very fun to see people chirping at each other, having a good time.
Yeah.
But that poor little kicker.
Yeah.
And they kept flashing up that thing that he's never even attempted a game-winning kick or a tying kick.
Yes.
His body language. I was like, no chance.
He's tight. There's no chance. There's no chance.
No chance. And, this guy's going to make
the We got him. We got him. And then, you know, what the coin tells us, like, oh, okay. They're going first. They're going to kick a field goal. That's all we're going
to
give up.
I was
That's
happy for him up. That he made the field goal in overtime just to, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So he could, like, have a little bit of, but no.
He ain't going to make this one. No, he ain't going to make this one.
No, and they did it to him. Yeah. They did it to him. They slowed it down to the point where he had to think too much about it, moved him back a couple yards, and they did it to him.
Yeah, man. And then, you know, coming back over here to Atlanta, I mean, you want just the atmosphere. They said it was all white. It all started from when they were talking to Haynes King on the football show. And Haynes King said all kind of curse words.
Oh, man. He's cussing.
Yeah.
He didn't even stop throwing.
He didn't even stop throwing.
He's, like, doing his warm-up throws.
Can we hurry the hell up so I can get ready for this damn game I'm about to participate in? And you want to talk about taking a team to the woodshed. Now, Clemson battled back. Give them credit.
They did.
But Georgia Tech, and I'm going to tell you again, that damn number 10 is one hell of a player.
Yep.
He is a, you want to call him a warrior, whatever you want. There's not enough.
He's a great leader.
There's not enough good names great you can call and say about Haynes King. And 25 more carries. They needed all of them, you know. And for him to be able to you know, lead that team the way he did was unbelievable. And it starts up top because Brent Key, we talked about it on Wednesday, his piss was hot all week. He was ornery with the media and everything like that. And then you saw the joy. And I love that there's nothing funnier than a victorious locker room. But you can just tell when some are more special than others. They're all special. But this one right here, he wanted this bad. And then for him to get it, fast field goal to win the football game, come on, man. All you can dream about, 55 yards.
Yep.
Like, on the money, too.
Yep. It was,
on the money.
It was nailed. The kid nailed it. Obviously, you heard the highlight a few minutes ago. The place goes nuts. That there was so many moments in that game of, like, wow. This is a really well-coached football team.
Yes.
Like, obviously, just the physicality that they play with. They have such a clear identity. Haynes King is a great leader on the field. Brent Key, obviously, on the sideline. But for them to feel so comfortable in that moment with their kicker, with no timeouts, knowing what they needed to do, the operation was flawless. Everybody got off the field that needed to. Special teams got on the field that needed to. They were lined up with just amount of time. And for him to be able to kick that field goal and win the game was – I don't know. Like that's something that in years past, you know, Georgia Tech would be in games and then they would self-inflict wounds and lose these games, like sloppiness and stuff like that. Brent Key has a lot of that cleaned up, which is a big part of why they're 3-0 right now. Let's listen to him talk about Haynes King after the game.
You know, it's weird to say. It probably won't make sense to many people, but it's like an extension of me. I feel like I'm playing through him on the field. He's been like that his whole life. And it's funny, you know, talking to Jimbo last night, and he was talking about his time, you know, at the last place he was, and it was the same. It was the same when he was in high school. I mean, that's his character, it's his DNA. When people play the game like that, there's bigger reasons. There's bigger reasons than just the game that day. He's got bigger reasons behind him, and he's. I don't know if I've ever met a tougher guy in my life.
Yeah.
He's. I mean, he is. He plays like a damn offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude, he takes it, but he keeps bringing it, man. I mean, and that's going to be the tell of their season because this guy does everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I do now believe, kind of believed it last week, they're gonna be in Charlotte.
There's really good chance.
There's nobody.
Yeah.
The way if this team plays, because there's nobody that can beat them on the schedule.
Florida State and Miami are not on their schedule.
Yes, and that was the biggest thing. When you talk about their ACC schedule, unless they slip up.
Which is
possible.
It's possible. I'm behind you what you're saying right now because you start peeking ahead at this schedule and what you've seen from them in the first 3 weeks of the year, they should be able to beat everyone remaining on their schedule until they get to Georgia, and that's the final game of the season. And we all remember the game last year. It was a great football game.
Yes.
But you got – and again, I don't want to start doing the win-loss on their schedule, but it's a really favorable schedule. They'll probably be favored in every game they play until Georgia.
Yes.
And they got through – and we said this at the beginning of the year. If they could find a way to sneak either the Clemson game or the Georgia game or one of these other ones that maybe we thought looked a little different before the season started.
Right.
But, Virginia Tech –
ooh, they just fired.
They fired their coach.
They got drugged. You know, old Dominion.
Duke spent all that money on their quarterback, but they lost again.
They lost to Tulane, right?
There's a lot of you don't know until you see it. And now that we've seen some of these teams, they don't look as good as maybe they could have. There's no reason why they can't be in Charlotte for the ACC championship.
And I'm talking about even more than anything. College football playoffs.
Yeah. No, seriously.
That's how good this team is with this remaining schedule, with their quarterback. And they got other guys. So like you said, it's uncomfortable playing them because they hunt. They have this team. If you want to talk about a DNA of a team matching their coach, they have it. They have the perfect one. Yeah. You know, now Buster has been called. This is a hell of a, you know, this might be his last year here.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to take full advantage of that. But for them, and Clemson's just not who we are. And I go back to what Dabo said earlier this week. This team is having a hard time dealing with their early season expectations.
I don't know about that, dog. If that's it, that's tough.
I don't know about that, because
that's not what Saturday was.
No.
That wasn't much better than these guys and we're not taking them seriously. That was they came in and – because, again, much like the Falcons' final score, 24-21, credit to Clemson for coming back at the end of the first half and in the third quarter and scoring. That game could have been a lot worse early.
But then the biggest thing what Tech has got to do, they got to stop turning the damn ball over. They got to stop turning the ball over, man, because that's one of the things where those games that you're on the road against whoever and you lose that game because of a turnover. Mm-hmm. They got to stop turning the damn ball over.
Yeah, man.
They got to stop turning the damn ball over.
I know Friday we were like, which of the three teams, Falcons, Georgia, and Georgia Tech, would a win mean the most for? And now we don't have to worry about it.
Because they all won.
They all won.
Yep.
They just all won. That never happens.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I mean, a lot of other teams, all the teams won to state. My son was telling me that was a crazy game. West Georgia had a crazy game.
Really?
I thought Georgia Southern won. Georgia State won. So, I mean, yeah. The Dream won. Their first playoff game. So, yeah.
It's a great weekend.
Great.
Samson's team won.
Yeah, man.
We made it to Savannah and back in time for the choir performance yesterday morning.
How'd my gal do?
She did great.
Yes.
She did great. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm not worried about that.
Not great.
You feel about like me. we in this thing.
We were there.
We in this thing.
Showing up. That's all you can do. You just got to show up. Keep showing up. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle times two to kick off the noon hour. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.